Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las...
Half-cats.
Shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. And tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes...
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las Podcast. This is episode number 155, recorded from the DeFont Leroy Studios in Westerly, Rhode Island, and sunny Sarasota, Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined, as always, by my co-host, Mike, down in Florida. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm fabulous, Mr. Klinsman. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. Okay. This week, we have a special guest back on the show from our North Carolina studios. We have Matt Holley. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well, fellas. Thanks for having me on. I was a little disappointed. Y'all had teased it, I think it was last month, about the Los Angeles studios, and I was hoping I was going to get to fly out to Los Angeles and see the studio out there, but it didn't work out. I'm stuck in North Carolina.
Yeah. Was that thing magnificent? That thing was beautiful, wasn't it?
I would pay just to sleep in the parking lot or in the driveway at that house.
The only problem is we were going to send you out. We had the jet fired up and everything, but we didn't get the soundproofing up in time, so we just didn't want to pull the trigger on that.
It was probably the... I don't know if you guys saw, there was actually a plane that flew out of Charlotte's about 3 hours from me that hit a deer on the runway yesterday.
I did see that, yeah.
They had to shut it down, and I think it was right before, I don't know if it was actually taxiing or it was, you know, getting ready to take off, but they had to, you know, stop it, and fire trucks run out and sprayed it down with foam, and they took everybody off the plane and put them on another one. So
how big was this deer that it like made all this damage to a plane?
I don't know. I didn't see anything left of the
deer. I imagine it would just turn into a fine mist at that point.
I'm sure it's not something they want to advertise on the news anyway.
747 so. And like a 600-pound deer. I know who's going to win that matchup most times.
Some good rednecks. I bet the Willings would have went out there with their knives and salvaged some good meat, though.
That's some venison to go take it off the tire on the jet.
Yeah, there's still some good tenderloin left on this tire.
Yeah, make a little stew or something, no problem.
Yeah, throw some spices, you'll never taste that rubber.
Yeah, throw it in the slow cooker. That fixes all the yells, doesn't it, Bill?
Yeah, it does.
You guys have been hitting your slow cooker hard lately, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
So, Matt, we have... Oh, sorry, Mike, go ahead.
No, you're right. No, just making good stuff.
Good stuff in the slow cooker. I did a beef stew last weekend in the slow cooker. It came out fantastic.
Yeah, so you the beginning of that, but you never showed the ending.
I got to... Well, you know what happened? I forgot to take the picture when it was all in the crock pot, and then I just ate it all quick.
Oh, okay.
You know, once you hit spoon to stew, and then it just goes pretty quick at that point, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
No time to come up for air.
I'm always the guy that forgets to do the pictures beforehand, and when you think about it, it's like, oh, I'm already halfway through this thing. There's no point in taking pictures now, so...
Oh, Mike does. He doesn't care if there's just, like, one bite left on the plate and a torn-up napkin in the middle. He's like, oh, this was good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, we talked about it a little bit at the end of last week's episode. We're going to talk about taking young kids to Disney, but before we get into that and before we take our break... Matt, you had reached out to us, and we wanted to have you on because you had something you wanted to talk about concerning your friend Alan. So I'm going to let you kind of promote your thing that you have here. I don't want to spoil it, so I'll let you go into detail and take as much time as you need for that.
All right, well, thanks for letting me come on and take some of your time to talk about it. I briefly just had put together... with some help from some other friends, a virtual run slash fun run. If you're not familiar, virtual run, basically all that means is you don't show up in one location for a race. It also means you can do it at your own pace, your own location. You don't have to run. We put on the website, you can run, walk, crawl, ride a bike, go swim, whatever you want to do. We're basically just trying to do something to, one, remember Alan, two, hopefully raise a little bit of money that we can donate to his wife and daughter. It is online. I've set up a website. It's Tiki Trot. It's TikiTrot.com. You can go there and register. Everybody that registers will get a t-shirt and a medal to remember the run by. And like I said, it's something just to kind of, one, remember Alan, and two, hopefully raise a little bit of money that we can in turn give to his wife and daughter and help them out with, you know, everything that they're dealing with. So it's just something that I have, you know, tried to put together to, you know, like I said, remember him. Alan, for those of y'all that might not know, we live fairly close together, and we had run a few races together and had always talked about trying to get down to Disney to do a race together. So this was something I felt, you know, it was a good way to, like I said, to remember him and to get people involved no matter where you are. You don't have to be in the one location like some fundraisers and stuff are. So like I said, TikiTrot.com has got information there. You can also send me a tweet. I've got a Twitter account set up. It's also TikiTrot. So either or, a regular Twitter or TikiTrot. If you have any questions or anything like that, feel free to contact me.
Yeah, it's a nice thing that you're doing, obviously, for your friend and his family. And I know that I've seen some rumblings on Twitter between a lot of people that are going down to Disney for, what, the Food and Wine race, yeah, that are kind of running in his honor and his memory.
Yeah, Wine and Dine. He had actually, him and his wife were going down to do that. And, you know, they had already set up their reservations through DVC and was just waiting for registration to open for it. And unfortunately, it just didn't come soon enough. So I know right now his wife is going down. She's planning on doing the 5K, the 10K, and the half. I'm going down and doing those races with her. Sean and Keith and Scott are all doing the 5K, and there's been several other people that have reached out that are, you know, doing various different races down there. But yeah, there will be quite a few of us down in November also doing those races in his memory as well.
So that's good. It's nice to keep the memory alive and do something that, you know, he loved and in his honor and to remember him by. And it's a good way to get a lot of people together and recall their fond memories of him and kind of reminisce and have some good times thinking about it. I'm sure it's still not going to be easy, but it's a good way to deal with the pain, I imagine.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, you still have your moments, and I still don't know how, you know, Blair's dealing with things the way she deals with them. I mean, she's definitely a strong individual, but you know, anytime you come across a first or whatever, it's still raw and tough to deal with it. But, you know, like I said, it's just trying to do something that everybody can kind of get behind and you know, show unity and just remember him and have some fun while they're doing it.
Yeah, so thanks for sharing that with us, Matt. And again, it's TikiTrot.com, or you can go to Twitter.com/TikiTrot to get in contact with you and sign up if you want to participate in that. On that note, we'll take our little break here and we'll come back and get into the meat of the episode. Does that sound good, guys?
Works for me.
Perfect.
All right.
Ole, ole, it's showtime.
In the tiki, 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 tiki room. In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
All the birds sing word and the flowers croon.
In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
Welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd be the audience too.
All together in the tiki, 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 tiki room. In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
All the birds sing word and the flowers croon.
In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
I sing so beautiful, I should sing solo.
See, so low we can't hear you.
My voice may not be so marvelous, but my profile is out of this world.
Jawohl, but the trouble is, it's not far enough out of this world. Isn't that right, Herr Schmidt? Oh, I see Schmidt has no hair.
Mi amigo, stop the clucking. You sound like a bunch of old hens.
All right, we are back from break. This is episode number 155 of the Por Favor podcast. And in this week's episode, as we said at the end of last week, we're going to talk about taking young kids to Walt Disney World. It's a topic that, Mike, is very near and dear to your heart, isn't it?
Can we call this the Weasel Show? I mean, we're one episode from our three-year anniversary. I was really hoping we would somehow not have to deal with this, but...
Well, but see, this is the pre-Weasel age, though. We've discussed this prior. This is the under 8-year-old kind of bringing the real young kids where they're still cute and fun.
No, young kids are fine. Weasels choose to be weasels.
Right, exactly.
We've defined what a true weasel is.
Yes.
So. Yeah, I'm flirting with the weasel age. My oldest is 7, so I'm starting to flirt with that myself. So
is he starting to push it and act like a weasel right now?
Not yet. He's in first grade, so maybe another year or so, a little bit of, you know.
I'd say second and third grade, which when you start really becoming a weasel, wouldn't you say?
I agree with that, but it's not guaranteed. He could be a anti-weasel kid. He could be one of the good ones.
Yeah.
So that's important.
I mean, I was a weasel.
Oh, sir, you still are. What do you mean, was?
I still am. There's adult weasels, teenage weasels, and...
The only people that are exempt are under 8. Because
that's
they
true.
Don't know any better. Everything 8 and above, their weasel knows no discrimination.
Yeah,
at that point.
I guess under 8, would that mean the parents are a weasel because they'd be raising them to become a weasel?
There's a chance of that, certainly. Yeah, if the parents don't nip a tantrum in the butt, you know, you can't really get mad at a kid like a 4 or 5-year-old for throwing a tantrum without a nap at Disney World, but if the parents just kind of drag them along by the ankle and take pictures of the Small World ride, then yeah, I guess the parents are the weasel. So that's part of what we'll talk about this week, but speaking of taking young kids to Disney World, one of the things that will definitely help, and this is a Por Favor tip, is drinking. So I'm going to introduce my official beer sponsor of the week.
Get the sauce hard.
Yeah, exactly. Kids down. Is a little after the break, but this week I have a chocolate milk stout from Shipyard. I think I had this one on not too long ago, but I haven't made it to the liquor store in a while, so I'm on repeats now. And it's out of Portland, Maine, 5.4% alcohol by volume. It's one of my stouts, my mud beers, as Mike likes to call it. It's very good. I like this one a lot, so that's what I'm enjoying right now. I don't know if, Matt, if you have one this evening.
I actually have a mud beer myself. This one is Clown Shoes, which is out of Ipswich, Massachusetts, so up in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, I know Clown Shoes.
It's called a Chocolate Sombrero, which is a Mexican-style chocolate stout.
Ooh.
Let's see here. It says it's roasted dark malts plus extra chocolate plus ancho chili plus cinnamon plus vanilla extract. So I figured this was right up Mike's alley with all the stuff that doesn't go with stuff.
I was just going to say, as far as a beer is concerned, that's stuff that doesn't go with stuff that doesn't go with stuff that doesn't go with stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I was going to say, that's like that hits all the notes for you.
Oh, my God. I'm just checking off nope.
Like, if it was a chocolate bar, you would say, oh, I don't want cinnamon and hot pepper in my chocolate bar. If it was, like, chili, I don't want chocolate and cinnamon in my chili. If it's beer, you don't want any of that crap in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, you're right. It sounds good to me, though.
Well, there's not much on the chili aspect of it. There's definitely chocolate. You get some of the cinnamon and vanilla, but I'm not getting a whole lot of the chili on
the
it.
Chili. So that's okay. I don't like that flavor in beer, like that little kick of spice at the end. I know some people like the spicy ones. It's not my favorite. And I'm a big fan of spicy food, but I don't like the beers that have a spicy aspect to them, so.
You know those big nerds from that movie when they did the wine? What was it? It put Pinot Grigio on the map? That's what you two guys sound like right now talking about beer.
Yeah. You get a couple beer snobs in the same room and it can go off the rails very quickly.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
It very quickly becomes less about beer and everything else that's in it and the amount of alcohol and everything else.
All right, so we'll get back on track here about taking kids to Walt Disney World. Now, I've done it once. I took Georgina right after she had turned 1. So I have a little bit of experience with it. Matt, now how many times have you gone with your young ones?
My oldest, we went twice when he was 3. And we went again a year ago in January, so my oldest was 6 and the youngest was...
Because you kind of took some breaks in between visits, if I recall, right? Listening to your podcast, and you kind of have a 2 or 3 year break?
Yeah, there's about 3 years. The wife pulled in the purse strings and everything and cracked the whip a little bit. So, yeah, we had to take a bit of a break. It was October, 2013. And then the next time we went was January 2016. So not quite 3 years. So
well, that's right, because I just missed you when we went last year. I remember that you were saying you were going like the week before or after I got back.
Right. Yeah, I think we were there. I think we were there the week before.
Yeah.
Because didn't you do it with family and stuff?
Yeah, it was me and my wife and our 2 kids. Her sister, husband, and 2 kids, and her mom and stepfather. So yeah, there was 10 of us total.
That's definitely hitting the sauce.
Yeah, there were a few moments I would sneak off and go hit, you know, whatever I could, you know, get good and cold and
those Magic Kingdom days seem minutes. Like awful long when you got a party of 10, doesn't it? When there's no sauce to be found.
Yeah, it was, as soon as you got back to, we were staying at Pop, so as soon as we got there, I made a beeline straight to the pool bar, and I think it was double-fisting on the way back to the room.
That's a good move. That's a veteran's move right there.
That's a good job right there.
All right, well, I guess you mentioned staying at Pop, and you feel like that's a good place for the younger kids, or more when they get a little bit older? What do you think of the staying at Pop?
Both of my kids seem to enjoy it. I will say if you have the extra money, because I don't really say it's in the same category, even though Disney says it's a value. If you can go over to Art Animation, that's where we stayed. We took my oldest his second time, and he really, really enjoyed that part. Just because the room's a little more themed and done up as opposed to, you know, Pop, it's just kind of just a basic, you know, room and everything.
Yeah.
So he seemed to enjoy that one a little bit better, but they don't really care. I mean, you know, getting in the pool or, you know, going and catching the bus or watching the fireworks at night, as long as there's something to do, they really don't care.
That's true. I guess it depends on how young they are, because when we took my daughter, she had just turned 1. So we knew there was going to be a lot of time spent at the resort, so we decided to go with the moderate Caribbean beach because we knew that she'd be having her naps or we'd just be walking around the resort, and there's a lot more pleasing things for the adults at Caribbean beach and having a little more space to kind of spread out, a little quieter.
Yeah.
With the real young one, but when they get to that 4 or 5 year old, I think like Pop or any value is really the way to go because it's just a madhouse at those places anyway, so you might as well fit in with it.
Yeah, and another thing you brought up too is the extra space. We were looking at going, I think, Port Orleans, mm-hmm. but everybody in the group, just for monetary purposes, we decided to go to Pop. So, but yeah, we had debated on going up to Moderate, just to get a little more room because with 2 kids, it kind of, you know, it's a little more cramped. You got a little more stuff that you've got in the room, and
right.
So yeah, I guess it depends on, you know, the size of everything. If you want a little extra room, like you said, if you want a little extra scenery while the kids are napping, or, you know, one thing you have to take into consideration is when they go to bed, if you're not ready to go to bed, then you've got to find something to do because you can't watch TV anymore. The kids are in there asleep. So,
right.
You know, something that would appeal to you as well as, you know, entertaining everybody else is not a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's kind of where the Art of Animation could be nice if you do a family suite, because there's kind of like a separate room, so you can even have a little more separation there with the kids.
That's actually what we, that's what we did. We had put him down in the, I guess what you would call the actual bedroom, and then when we were ready to go to bed, we would put him down on one of the pull-out cats. I mean, he had a choice of like 3 beds that were out in the living area, And they each night would ask him which bed he wanted to sleep in. So, you know, whenever we'd go to bed, we'd just move him out in that one. So, yeah, it's the extra room's nice, especially, like I said, nap time, bedtime, anything like that where you're just trying to get a little extra peace and quiet and maybe get a little downtime away from the kid.
Yeah, that's one thing I definitely learned. I won't say I regretted it, but it would have been nice to have a separate room because anytime we were trying to do a nap or bedtime, it was like, all right, pitch dark, no TV. You're just sitting on the bed looking at your cell phone and hoping the baby sleeps for a little while. So being at 1 year old, it was a lot different than when they get a little older and they're mm-hmm. a little bit easier to put to bed. But that's just something that in the future maybe is the way to go, especially as the family gets bigger. Now with the two girls, it'd be nice to have a separate room the next time we go. We'll have to see how that all works out. Again, budget's always a big concern. Anyway, that makes it easy. It's always easy to say, but then you go and look at the price and you're like, I guess I can sit in the dark for a few hours to save a couple hundred bucks.
Exactly. Well, you know, Scott's not far from there. I mean, you just go drop a kid off over there and go back to the parks.
That's true. Or I can go to his house and leave the kid in the room.
But then you're forced to hang out with Scott.
Ah, good point. Didn't think about that. The other thing that I was going to bring up initially was, obviously, besides the obvious, everyone's going to say Magic Kingdom's the best with kids, but which park surprised you as far as your kids enjoying it?
Probably Epcot.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew Magic Kingdom and I knew Animal Kingdom would be probably the two front runners. But the first time when we took my oldest, he was still at that stage where he was not exactly sure about some of the attractions. I kind of messed up the first time I took him. The first thing we did was jump on Spaceship Earth. I was like, you know, it's nice and slow. Won't be any problems.
It's just so dark though.
Exactly. I forgot like the first 5 minutes were pitch black and he had a complete, you know, nutty until we got to a point where there was a little bit of light. And after that, if he could tell there was going to be any part of dark or whatever, he didn't want anything to do with it. We even had problems on the TTA, the few times where, like when you go into Space Mountain and it gets dark, he didn't like that. So, but this time he got to the point where he was a little bit older, so he knew what to kind of expect. I wasn't exactly sure as far as the bigger thrill rides, because he was at the point where he could start getting on those. He was tall enough, and I wasn't exactly sure how he would do with those, if he would do any of them. Funny story, first thing I did was put him on, I was like, I'll use Barnstormer as a test.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all excited, and we get on there, and it starts climbing up the lift hill, and you can tell he's kind of getting a little tense. And just about the time it hits the top of that first lift hill, I have never, in the 7 years he's been alive, I've never heard this kid shriek like he did coming over the top of that lift hill. And we got off, and he looked at me, and he's like, Daddy, I'm never riding that again. I was like, all right, well, that's it. He won't do anything else. Well, I don't know if it's the fact that his older cousin was there, but he ended up doing Thunder Mountain. He did Everest once. He did Seven Dwarfs. He loves Test Track. Test Track was his favorite ride, so that's why I say Epcot kind of surprised me. When we were there, Soarin was down.
Right.
So I wanted to get him on Soarin, but outside of that, I was like, I don't know what else he's going to do here. I knew he would do Spaceship Earth. Frozen wasn't open yet, so that was out of the picture.
Imagine like the Figment ride and the Finding Nemo were probably...
He liked Nemo. There was... I guess it's the part where the anglerfish is bouncing around.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it being dark, he doesn't really care for that much. But once you get in there with the fish and everything, he enjoyed that. I didn't take him on Figment just because I wasn't sure with some of the noises and stuff. I was not to mention Figment's not what Figment used to be. So I wasn't that upset if we didn't ride it. So. Epcot was probably the one that surprised me that we spent as much time in as we did.
What I liked, that's the same answer I have, is Epcot really surprised me as well. Even with the 1 year old, because there's a good amount of meet and greets that aren't too crowded, and she was into that at that point.
Yep.
So that helped to do those. The slow rides, there's good slow rides. You do, the Donald Duck ride in Mexico. We did Figment. We did Nemo. We didn't do Spaceship Earth because I figured the long dark periods would be too much for her. And like even, the Nemo ride, there were a couple parts where she didn't like it, but like you said, being in the aquarium afterwards, we spent a lot of time in there.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, because it was a slower time and it's such a big park and so spread out, we were able to get her nap in around World Showcase. So we just walked around World Showcase with her in the stroller, and she fell asleep and took her nap there. We stopped at a couple countries, and then we ended up walking out of the International Gateway and walked around Boardwalk for a while with her in the stroller taking a nap. So we kind of used that to our advantage. Instead of going back to the room to do the nap, she did that. So we were able to last longer at Epcot than any other park while we were there with her. So that was a pleasant surprise as well.
Yeah, you kind of touched on, that's probably one of the biggest things we learned on the first trip. You know, being the first kid, we were like, will he nap in the park? We bought a rather cheap umbrella stroller because I didn't want to deal with the big, huge stroller getting on and off the buses and everything. But the stroller we got, the seat didn't really recline a whole lot. So we basically were forced to go back to the room for him to nap.
Oh, yeah. Because
it, you know, in, aside from just laying the stroller back, you know, walking around for him to, you know, try and go to sleep that way. But this, when we went in January, the stroller we had, it actually would, the seat would lay back quite a bit. So there were several times we never really left the park. He just napped and everything there. So that's definitely one thing that we learned to, you know, have a stroller at least where the seat will lay back. So you'll have a chance for the kid to, you know, take a nap and sleep a little bit in the park to give you a better option as opposed to having to, you know, jump out of the park and go back to the room and then, you know, try and get back in the park with, you know, after they take a nap and everything.
Yeah, that's true. Mike, anything you want to add here?
No, I'm watching golf right now.
Yeah, who's winning?
Phil Mickelson's up. Oh, he's 5 under.
That's good.
How's Tiger hitting the ball?
I think he's not playing.
So probably not that great.
No, not that great. This is the last part of the West Coast string. Riviera, love this golf tournament.
Yes, it's a good one.
What are you guys talking about, by the way?
Just strollers.
Oh, you're at strollers right now?
Well, here's something that you might like, Mr. Klinsman.
What's that?
The next question I had was, which restaurants would you advise
for
young kids?
All right.
So this got your attention.
All right, let me tilt my chair back toward the
microphone. Put the headphones
back on. Yeah, put the headphone back on. Yep.
As far as restaurants go, at least for with the 1 year old, and I guess it goes for any under three, is that the buffets and the family style, they don't charge you for the little one, so you can kind of share off your plate. So we did a couple of those, and that worked out to our advantage because you never know how much a kid's going to eat at any given point. I mean, you can go to a quick service and order them the kid's meal, and they'll take 2 bites of the chicken nuggets and then be done with it, and you just wasted $8. But if you go to one of those family style, if you're eating all the same stuff, they usually want to eat what you're eating anyway, and then you have basically the pick of the litter at that point. So those worked out. Like, Garden Grill was fantastic, especially with the characters. We did the breakfast that you came to, Mr. Klinsman, at Cape May, and that was a really good character buffet. I thought that one, as far as dealing with the characters coming around, they did that really well. It didn't feel like too overwhelming. Like some of the characters, I don't know if it's the way the restaurant was set up with the seats being a little closer together and not big aisles in there, that it prevented like the little tail of weasels. You ever notice that the character buffets, when there's a big open space, like Mickey Mouse is walking around, there's like 4 or 5 like weasels trying to like go up to him, take pictures, and even though it's not their turn to meet him.
Like, yes.
I feel like Cape May prevented that pretty efficiently.
Yes. So that the was flow of traffic was very good.
Yeah. Any spots that surprised you that were enjoyable, Matt, that you did with the kids?
One thing that I will mention, and I don't know if this is their policy or if this was the server we had. We went to Via Napoli one night, and kind of like you were saying, my youngest, you know, we didn't have to buy a ticket for him because he was under 3. So anywhere we went, we had done the dining plan. So if we had to get anything, we would either feed him off his plate or, you know, buy something for him. But that night they told us that he could get anything off the kids' meal and they were not going to charge us for it.
Oh, that's
so nice. Yeah, I don't know if, you know, if that was just, you know, a little bit of Disney magic or if that's their, you know, policy. I guess it doesn't hurt to ask.
Right.
But yeah, that one stood out in my mind. Like I said, obviously character meals or anything that's going to entertain them. I would maybe even suggest coral reef because of the aquarium and all and the fish and everything. That's kind of my train of thought. If you can have something where the kids want to be entertained, you know, if you're eating at Epcot, if you could time it where Illuminations, I know sometimes that's a little too late for kids to be eating, but you know, something again to just to kind of entertain them.
Right.
I guess so. Now, do you think 5-year-olds would appreciate the belly dances at Marrakesh, or is that a little too young?
Depends on the 5-year-old, I suppose.
That's true. Well,
I was going to say, I've seen some that will actually get the kids up and try and have them dance with them. So, I mean, if they're one of those kids that are not too shy, then sure, why not? Whispering Canyon is another good option in Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah,
that's a good place.
The first time that we went with my oldest, that was where we ate our first night, and we all just had a ball with, you know, all the gags and everything that they got running, and he got up and did the horse race around the restaurant and everything, so he really enjoyed it. So again, some kids and keep their mind off, you know, we're sitting here waiting on food.
Well, I think that's the other advantage of the family style and the buffets is you don't have to wait on the food. You kind of get seated, and then it's like, all right, here's your food.
True,
which is nice. That's... And then you have the characters coming around potentially in between, which really just makes the whole meal go by pretty quick and without any meltdowns because, you know, sometimes if you don't time it right and you get in there and you have to wait, even if it's only 15, 20 minutes for your food to come, that can be the difference between a meltdown and just a normal, peaceful meal.
I mean, you had a meltdown on your honeymoon when you were at Le Cellier because you were looking so forward to your steak. You started kicking chairs and stomping your feet, didn't you?
Yeah, my picture's still up there. I don't think I can go back to Le Cellier. That's why I had to make the soup at home this time.
Exactly, exactly.
But, yeah, so you understand how it could be. We could throw tantrums, and with the little kid, it's easy. It's better to be able to avoid that, like, either with a quick service or a buffet or something like that, unless you have pretty good luck with the kids going to restaurants back at home. I would say kind of at least dip your toe in the waters with the buffet first try and see how it goes and then kind of figure it out from there. That would be my advice anyway.
Yeah, and like you said, they're your kids. You've probably taken them out to eat before. You know how they eat at restaurants. It's not going to be any different at Disney. It's probably going to be a tad on the worse side because they're tired and hot and cranky and hungry and everything else. So you know how they're going to behave, and you just kind of have to, you know, adjust accordingly.
Yeah, very true. Any other things you want to mention, Matt? I have a few like questions and tips from people on social media that I want to get to, but before I do that, if there's anything else that you want to bring up, any tips that you have or advice you want to give, go ahead and do that now.
I mean, not really. I guess the biggest thing is just if you're going for the first time with kids, your pace and the way you go to the parks completely change. You're not going to go, you know, blazing a path to each attraction and everything. I mean, everything just slows down. So, you know, kind of let them just, you know, do the trip. If they want to do this attraction, if they want to do Small World 3 or 4 times, let them do Small World 3 or 4 times. I mean, you've been there, you've seen it, you know what's going on. just kind of let them run the show. That would be probably the biggest thing I could say. That's kind of lets them do what they want to do and avoids any meltdowns or issues like that. So that's probably the biggest thing I could recommend.
Yeah, that's a good point. So on Twitter, we had someone, Corey White on Twitter. He asked about, and this goes piggybacks right off what you just said, best pacing strategies. It says, we've gone for years without kids, but we'll be taking a one-year-old this fall. How many breaks? I would say, like you were just saying, you got to know your kid.
Yeah.
If your little one goes all day with just like one hour nap, then try to keep the pace the same way. I mean, it's going to be a little more tiring. And what we did was, especially with a one-year-old, is we didn't really do a lot of breaks. We just did our park time, and then once it was time for either a meal or a nap, that was it. We were just back at the hotel the rest of the day. We didn't do back and forth. Because even the traveling from resort back to the park, that takes a lot out of it, because that's a tough transition where you're sitting on the bus and they're getting antsy or they're trying to sleep or whatever it is. So we didn't do like breaks where we would go and say, all right, we'll go back to the room for an hour and then get back on a bus and get back to the resort and then go back and forth and back and forth. We just kind of said, she's going to last 3 or 4 hours in the park, so we'll try to do, we'll go from 9 to noon, go back, have lunch, and then try to do a nap in the afternoon, and then just enjoy the rest of the day at the resort and have dinner at the resort. And I assume when they get a little older, it's different, and you can speak to that, but that's what I would say with a one-year-old especially, is just take their time where they're the most awake, try to be that in the park, and then just do the rest of the day back at the resort.
Yeah, you know, a lot of downtime, taking it easy. If you get lucky and they'll sleep in the stroller, then let them sleep in the stroller and don't have to worry about leaving. You might want to try that the first day you're there, so you're not 3 or 4 days into it and like, oh, well, maybe she'll sleep in the stroller today. I would go ahead and try that first day and find out. There was something else I forgot. It must not have been that important. All right, anyway, go ahead.
All right, well, the next piece of advice actually comes from Vic Rosansky on Twitter, and he said, kind of going along with what you just said again, his piece of advice was to take breaks during the day, even if it's just sitting down for a meal, and then if the trip's long enough, just take a day, and this is what Michael liked, just to stay at the hotel the whole day and just do the pool and just enjoy the resort.
That's give a great the kids, day.
Give the kids a break from the hectic pace of the parks for a day.
We actually will try and work in maybe halfway through the trip. We'll take a day, just kind of split it up. Mm-hmm. And that day, we literally do nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you let the kids sleep. Whenever they get up, they get up. You go to the pool. You go find something to do outside the park, whether it's over to
Disney Springs or something like that.
Yeah, Disney Springs, go over to Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, true.
You know, ride on a boat. I mean, whatever you want to do. It's just something just to kind of relax and let them decompress a little bit. And they're not, you know, all caught up in the crowds and everything. So, yeah, just kind of take a day or two. I mean, we're depending on your trip, just to kind of do nothing and just lay around and relax.
Right, and that would be, like you said, about halfway in the trip is probably a good time to plan that kind of day.
Yeah, that's kind of, we either would do it where we would take one right in the middle of the day or stagger it where we'd be in a park and then we'd be off. We'd be in a park and then be off. Again, depending on your length of trip and what you can swing.
And actually, another piece of advice, if you can work it out, a good day to do it is Saturday, because the parks are always busier on a Saturday, so just avoid the park on a Saturday and stay at the resort that day. It's going to be a good mental health break for everybody. This last one's a question, and this one is tougher to answer for me, but it's from Jessica McGuire on Twitter, and she wants to know if you think it's wise to let a 16, 14, and 11-year-old have some free time in the parks without the parents hovering over them. And again, that's a little outside of my expertise area, but, I mean, a 16-year-old, I think, is old enough to explore on their own, even 14. And I guess it just depends how responsible the 16-year-old is if you trust them watching over your 11-year-old in the parks. And how much faith you have in the kids. If you would do it, you know, at the mall at home, then maybe you'd be fine doing it at Disney World. Or you just gotta know and have the plan in place to say, okay, if you guys get split up, meet here. If they all have their own cell phones, then obviously that helps because then they can call each other and coordinate and meet back up together if they get split up. And if they can find their way back to the hotel on their own, like using the transportation, that's a big plus as well.
Yeah, again, you know your kids better than anyone, so if you would trust them to go to the movies by themselves or go to the mall by themselves, then you know they'll be fine. I can remember back when I was growing up, several summers. I mean, that's basically what we did. We would get out of school and we'd go to Disney for you know a week or so, and I was on my own. I would get up in the morning. We normally stayed at Fort Wilderness. I'd get up in the morning and hit whatever park was open early that morning. Come back about that time. Everybody's actually starting to get up and move around. I'd go in the parks with them, you know, for a few hours. And then I was on my own again until usually when the park closed. So my parents just let me go and do whatever I wanted to. I guess they trusted me. They knew I knew how to get around the parks and everything. So a lot of this just basically stems from, you know your kids. Would you trust them doing that? And then there's your answer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, now on to Facebook. We had a few responses here with some advice and some questions. So the first question, and this is a question for Mike, I think. It says, do you know of a time where they kick the weasels out of the lounges?
I don't know that answer.
So this is like a childless couple or an older couple, and they like to go to the lounges, and do they all have the same rules? So I looked into it a little bit, and I couldn't.
Oh!
Well, I couldn't
very
find
well
anything.
Very well prepared, Mr. Klinsman.
Well, yeah, thanks, but I couldn't find any solid answers on that. Like, age restrictions. Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, I'm sorry. I don't think there's anything set in stone. I want to say, doesn't Trader Sam's have a cutoff?
I think they do, but I don't. But no, but if they're in there already, they don't kick you out either. It's kind of like the Dave and Buster's rule.
Yeah.
Like if you get in there before 8 o'clock and you can stay the rest of the night, they don't kick anybody out. Even though after 8 you can't get in if you're under a certain age, like at Dave and Buster's. So I think it's the same thing. And most of the lounges are kind of basically restaurants anyway, so you can go in and get food, so they're not really going to refuse service, especially at a place like Disney.
Well, and
I couldn't
that
find anything on there that said kids under whatever age are not allowed after a certain time.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, most of your lounges are in your resorts, so it's kind of hard to say, unless they've got someone working the quote-unquote door, because they don't really have a door, but if you got someone working security to kick the kids out, which they're not going to do.
Yeah, they're just open areas for the most part.
Yeah,
like you said.
Yeah,
I mean, Trader Sam's is the exception because you have to actually check in and everything like that. So that might be the only place that you can do it without kids after a certain time.
Yeah, I think it would be hard to police, but I don't know of anything set in stone that, you know, if you're under a certain age, you have to be out whatever time.
Mm-hmm. So the next part, this is actually my wife asked this question on Facebook, and she said, we touched on this a little bit with the food, but she wants to know the easiest and the best way to get a good variety of food with the kids so they don't get stuck eating mac and cheese and chicken fingers at every restaurant you go to. And I think the buffets are the way to go around that. The buffet.
See, I was gonna say if you want a good variety to go to Victoria and Albert's.
That's a nice 12. That's a
especially
place
the
kids are banned.
The chef's table.
Yeah, if you want to go without kids, I think you have to be 18 plus to go in there. So that's the place to go, I suppose. So you gotta pay $600-700 to get away from the kids for a night, but I guess it could be worth it for some people.
It's well worth it, trust me.
So I would say the easiest way to get a good variety of food is to do the buffets, because there's going to be a lot of stuff, and you could just grab little parts of things that the kids may not have ever tried before, and because it's at a buffet, even if they don't like it, there's going to be something else that they will. So that's a good way to go. We also noticed when we were there with our daughter that this was a time right when we switched her off of breast milk, and then, you know, they tell you to give the kids whole milk right after they switch off, and then we found we had trouble getting whole milk at a lot of the restaurants at Disney. Like the quick serves almost did not have whole milk. They all had 1%, which I thought was strange because you would think they would cater to, you know, all ages and they'd have that. So they didn't have that, and that was a little bit of a surprise. So I guess maybe if you have the young kids, they do
whole,
have...
Whole milk's bad for you now, Jürgen, just like eggs 20 years ago.
Well, yeah, but whole milk's recommended for toddlers to drink.
Oh, okay.
So that's...
I thought they gave you heart attacks or something.
Oh, yeah. But the whole milk is at the resort, so I guess you could, you know, bring them with you, put them in a little cooler, but it's harder to find in the parks. So we did find that. And then the stroller question, the classic stroller question. And this one's tough because we did the same thing you did, Matt. We bought a cheap umbrella stroller to bring with us so we didn't have to tote around the big thing around all the parks. And we had a similar issue with the napping. But also, our daughter was just getting into the time where she was really walking really well on her own and she wanted to be out of the thing the whole time. But it's tough when they're that young to let them kind of even just hold the hand and walk around because they're going to be overwhelmed by the amount of people. So it was actually a tougher situation for us because she wasn't happy in the stroller, but we couldn't really let her go free on her own except around the resorts a little bit. So I think a stroller, you need to have it. Even if you end up pushing an empty one for part of the day, it's worth it in the long run. I don't know if you agree on that or not.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it can serve as other purposes, too, if you're carrying bags. I mean, as if your kids with bags in the stroller, so it can serve other purposes. But I definitely would say at least to have one because your kid might be one or two, might only be 20 pounds, but the minute they decide they want to take a nap and crawl up on your shoulder, toting 20 pounds from one end of the Magic Kingdom to the other, and then standing in line for a bus.
Right.
It gets pretty heavy pretty quick.
Dead weight, yeah, it gets heavy. Now, what age are you going to ditch the stroller? I'm assuming you brought it last year because your young one was, what, 3?
Well, the youngest one, he was 2.
Oh, yeah, so you had the stroller. Now, what age are you going to ditch it when you take him, you think?
Well, we're going back in November. I don't know if we'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
We might take it just to be on the safe side, but I mean, we don't use it here.
Right.
So, you know, if we go somewhere, we're not putting them in a stroller. So I don't know if we would even, you know, take a stroller with us. So it'll be interesting because he's still at that age, you know, being 3, sometimes he naps, sometimes he doesn't, you know, especially when you're down there and walking around. You know, everything. I'm sure he's going to get tired and I'll have to, you know, carry him or, you know, whatever.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see if we decide to take a stroller or not. We haven't even talked about it until you asked that question. I hadn't even really thought about it, to tell you the truth.
Well, I mean, I guess you bring it and then you could leave it in the room, like go the first day without it. And then if there's complete meltdowns, then you might have to take it the second day in the park.
Yeah. It's
better to have it instead of having to buy one there. Or rent it, yeah, and worse.
Those strollers down there are just the worst.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I would say. Same thing, like, with my daughter now being 2, she never goes in the... She refuses. She wants to be on her own with everything. So if we took her right now, it would be, you know, I don't care. I'm not too proud. I'll have her on one of those kitty leashes and let her walk around, but be able to rein her in with the leash. I don't mind. That's probably the way I would go, that little backpack... leash. Just kind of like Fenway is, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
He has no clue what you said. He's, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, the first hole at Riviera is amazing. They have like this elevated tee box.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they hit from a roof. It's really cool.
Well, the 18th is a good hole. Isn't that the one where they have to hit like all like the long distance along the pond and it's the par 5 18th at Riviera?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, because nobody ever eagles that hole. It's a great finishing hole. Yeah. This is a great golf course.
It is a good golf course.
I know last time we talked, you were talking about strollers. Are we still there? Or where are we at now?
On. We're moving on to more filth here. This is a little piece of advice from our good friend Sue Willing. She says, a food tip for little kids. Until they're three, they're free at buffets and family style. So we talked about that. And they'll even bring the kids kid choices at the family style if the stuff they have doesn't really suit their taste. And she's going along with what you said, Matt. She said she's not sure if it's a policy, but at Tutto Italia, they bring the kids a kid meal for free right away, no waiting. So maybe it's not. Maybe just Italy does it.
Yeah, so maybe it's an Italy thing.
So that's a good piece of advice there. And then John Tishow, or Tishow, I don't know how you say his last name, and he said his advice is not to force kids on rides that they may not be ready for. And he said he wishes he hadn't taken his daughter on Dinosaur when she was four. Made the same mistake again when she was six and took her on Tower of Terror. So, again, you got to kind of know the kid and know which kind of rides to go with. Because if you hit the wrong one early on, you can kind of sour them on everything for the rest of the trip.
Not only that, but you've been there before and you've seen the parents that, you know, they're wanting to get on Everest or whatever, and their kid is literally clawing, trying not to get on this thing, and they're forcing them on the ride. I mean, if they don't want to get on it, don't make them get on it. It's, right. It's really, it's not that big a deal. I mean, it's not going anywhere. You can ride it next time or do a rider swap or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't force them onto it. That's just, it not only ruins it for them, but it ruins it for everybody else.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I guess to piggyback on that a little bit, if you have like a local little amusement park that you can go to and kind of get a sense of what kind of rides they're going to like. I know like when we go up to Storyland in New Hampshire, it's a park for young kids anyway, but they have some little roller coasters and my daughter should be tall enough to go on one this summer. So we'll take her on that and, you know, if she has a meltdown, then I know next time we go to Disney, I'm not going to try to get her on the Barnstormer right away, but if she loves it, then, hey, maybe I'll even try the Seven Dwarfs with her if she's tall enough. You know, so that's kind of use common sense and just try to see what their comfort zone is. You have a little daredevil on your hands, they're probably going to want to do the fast rides earlier on than, you know, a wimp. I was a big wimp as a kid. I wouldn't have done a roller coaster. And I don't think I did my first roller coaster until I was like 16 or 17, so.
Oh, you're still a big wimp.
No, I'll go on any ride. I'll go on any ride.
Oh, please.
I might be a wimp, but I'm not a wimp about roller coasters at this point anyway. I won't go on the water slides that are straight down. Like at Blizzard Beach, I won't do that.
Oh, that's so awesome. I love that slide.
That's a great slide, isn't it?
My wife likes it too, and she's a wimp on roller coasters, but she'll go on the tallest water slide in the world. Oof. I can't do that stuff. I don't know. Water slides freak me out. Roller coasters, I'll do anything. But yeah, I guess you're right. I am a wimp, Mike. That's a good point.
Yeah, you are. You're a good wimp.
Good point by you. All right. I guess that's about it for the bringing kids. Mike, you have anything you want to ask either of us?
Yeah, I have the burning question that everybody asks.
Yes, please.
Is it worth it to bring a little kid? Everybody says yes. Some people say yes. Other people say, oh, you should wait until they can remember it, blah, blah, blah. So I want to hear you two guys answer that question.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt. You go first.
All right. Growing up, my first trip, I was three. My middle brother, he was three. My youngest brother, he was not quite three. So it was kind of a family tradition to go when you turn three. Took my first son when he was three, and I was kind of, when I took him, I knew from my experience, I wasn't sure how much of my actual trip I remembered or how much I was remembering because people had told me over time.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So I was leery about taking him at three, and I can sit down and have conversations and he can remember stuff from that trip that I don't remember. So I think, again, it depends on your kid. I was of the mindset, you know, somewhere between 3 to 5 is probably the best time because, yes, they're going to remember it. They're going to be able to enjoy and experience it. But after taking my youngest son in January when he was 2, I'm sure he won't remember a thing. But just seeing the joy on his face mm-hmm. and him experiencing it first time as a kid completely changed my mindset. Not to mention the fact that they're free. that helps.
That certainly does.
Yeah, that's big. That's big.
But yeah, I'm definitely more of the mindset now that I don't really think there is a certain age. Yes, they're not going to remember it. Yes, it's more for the parents to get that enjoyment and the excitement out of it. But I wouldn't have done it any different.
It's definitely for the parents. But you know what? In this day and age, you get video, you get pictures, and you'll have those forever. And, you know, one of my favorite pictures is with my wife, my daughter, and I, you know, standing in front of Spaceship Earth, got a good picture at Epcot, and then we have pictures of her hugging Daisy Duck and things like that, and it's like, I'll never forget. My wife will never forget, and my daughter, she might not remember, but she looks at the pictures, and she's excited that she sees herself with Daisy Duck, because now she, like, really is getting into the characters even more, and she's like, oh, I met these people. Like, you know, she gets excited about that now even more than at the time when we went. So there's things like that where you say, is it worth it? If you like Disney, if you're a big Disney fanatic, then, yeah, bring your kids at the earliest age that you feel comfortable, because you're going to enjoy it through the lens of their eyes. It's the people who don't, that aren't big, like, Disney nerds like us, where they do it because they think they have to, and then they go, and they don't know what they're doing, and they just go through, and it's like, oh, this place isn't as great for the young kids, which it can have that effect. And, you know, it's more the people that don't go that say it. Oh, they'll never remember. Well, I know they're not going to remember. But who cares? I'm going to remember, and I like going anyways. And like you said, they're free until they're 3 years old, so it's a nice trip for my wife and I will be able to go. We bring the kid, we make some good memories, and we have fun in a place that we all love. So there's nothing wrong with that in my book.
Because that's what my feeling was, is if you can do it, if you can afford it, why not go? Who cares if they're two or they're five or whatever?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, right there with you.
All right, well, on that note, good question, Mike. We're going to take our second break, and we'll come back and wrap everything up right after this.
Long before the old Model T, round about the turn of the century, folks discovered a barrel of fun. Taking pictures by the light of the sun. Smile, hug, look at the camera.
Hold your breath and say cheese.
Cheese, little did they realize back then they were making memories. Making memories, catching little pieces of time,
making them yours
and making them mine.
Birthday faces and happy places we
love to hold near and dear. When we're making memories, happy days can reappear.
All right, we're back from break. You just got through listening to episode number 155 of the Por Favor podcast. Mike and I were joined by Matt Holly talking about bringing young kids to Walt Disney World, some advice and things that we've done. We answered a few questions. We got some advice from listeners out on social media. And I guess the consensus is if you do a little bit of planning ahead and think about it a little bit, you're going to have a good time with the young kids. And you know, any age is going to be good because you're going to enjoy it as long as you don't go too crazy. Give the breaks, take a day at the pool and just stay at the hotel, do all those kind of things. And the trip should be good and you'll have good memories of it. And I know that is one thing I have to say. And in the full disclosure, my wife might have a different remembrance of our trip because she seems to think that it was a little too much for my daughter at one. I remember, like, the good parts, but it did take... it was a lot to get her to nap, and she was uncomfortable in the stroller. She wanted to be out of the stroller a lot, and we kept her in the stroller at the parks. She did like some of the rides. She loved It's a Small World. She loved even the Little Mermaid ride at Magic Kingdom. She liked Epcot. She liked being a characters, the meals, all that kind of stuff. But there were times where it was a little stressful, so I think maybe if we had waited another year to do it, it would have been a little better because we could have had her out of the stroller more. She would have appreciated it a little more, been able to communicate better. But I'll cherish those memories for the rest of my life. It was fun being down there with her at that young age, so I don't regret it. Even if my wife might disagree with me. All right, well, that'll do it for the episode. Matt, I want to give you an opportunity to go ahead and talk about the Tiki Trot one more time, just to reiterate for anyone who might have missed it earlier on.
Yeah, it's, again, it's just a fun run. We're not keeping track of time. It's not for awards or who can do it the fastest. It's, you know, just to come out and, you know, friendship and camaraderie and remembering Alan. You can go online to tikitrot.com to sign up. It's, you know, $35. Like, with that, you get a t-shirt and a medal, and all proceeds are going directly to Alan's wife and his daughter. If you have any questions, you can contact me on Twitter. I'm at mholly579 or at tikitrot is what I have set up directly for the race itself.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you coming on and talking with me and Mike today about bringing the young kids there. Mike, I don't know. This might be your opportunity here. I know you wanted to bring up a little bit of housekeeping. You wanted to call Matt out on something, didn't you?
Well, I'm not going to call him out, but we're gonna plug our social media. But it's my understanding now that you've joined forces with another podcast.
Yeah, we had been approached by both Sean and Keith to come over to Enchanted Tiki Talk and join them. They wanted to keep the show going again to honor and remember Alan. And as close of a friend as I was to Alan, I felt it was appropriate. I didn't want to see the show end. It kind of put us in between a rock and a hard place because we didn't want to abandon our show and you know, everything. So it was a tough decision, but in the long run, I felt it was appropriate to do it to kind of keep Alan's memory and everything going.
The tough part is you couldn't rid yourself of Scott in the process. That would have been the good negotiating
tactic.
And
that's the thing, because I listened to the first episode with those two guys on, and I'm like, he can't get rid of him. It's like a mosquito, you know, like on the back of the neck. I know he's trying to swat it away, but... And they had banned him, too, and they all took a vote, and they were going to ban him again, but they're kind of giving him a little bit of a leash.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a vote on every show. So
every show, it's going
to be stay tuned to see if he gets to stick around or not.
Okay. Oh, good. That's good things on the horizon if you can kick him out. That'll be good.
I tried, and I lobbied, but they didn't want to take the new guy's advice too much. So.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the younger brother who wants to hang out, and like all the older brothers are like, dude, get away from me.
It's the what was the old commercial with, was it, or not commercial, cartoon? He had Spike the Bulldog and the little, I don't even know what kind of dog he was, but he would just bounce around Spike all the time.
Yeah.
What do we do today, Spike? What do we do today, Spike? He's the little dog that just kind of follows you around.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's accurate. Now, we love Scott. We like giving him a hard time, but we all love Scott. He's a good guy.
So, hey, he's an easy target. Everybody does that. So
that's true. But yeah, so that's good. You guys are joining forces with those guys at Enchanted Tiki Talk, and Dixie Landings is no more. But it's different things. At least your voice is still out there. You get to keep talking about Disney on a weekly basis, so that's good.
I don't know if that's good or bad. You have to ask other people about that.
Oh, ask your wife, right? I know I don't hear the end of it. But anyway. Yeah, so we'll do our social media. Again, Matt, thanks for coming on. We appreciate that. TikiTrot.com. Check it out if you have the... if you want to run or you just want to support Alan and his family in this endeavor that Matt's put together, go over there and do what you can to help out. It goes a long way, I'm sure. As far as us, we're at PourFavorPodcast.com. On Twitter and Facebook at Por Favor Podcast, YouTube.com/Por Favor Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. You can usually find us if you search Por Favor Podcast. You can email the show info@porfavorpodcast.com, and you can email me, Gary@porfavorpodcast.com. Mike?
You can email me, Mike@porfavorpodcast, or follow me on Twitter @porfavormike. Matt, you want to plug your social media and your podcast?
Again, my Twitter, mholly579, tiki trot, and the podcast itself is @tiki talk podcast.
All right, once again, Matt, thank you for coming on for episode number 155 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejado de las Podcast. For my co-host Mike, for our guest Matt Holly, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.
When it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great, big,
beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow,
and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream